Romans 1, verse 14. Paul writing a letter to the Romans, and he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I praise God that I've been here 28 years, man. I look back over the years, and time has just flown. And you know what I'm talking about. It just goes. And I thank God that I've been able to preach the gospel to you here in Gun Barrel. The Lord has been good to my wife and I, and I feel like Paul. I'm a debtor. I'm under obligation to preach the gospel to you and get into the battle that we fight every day. I thank God for my son over here. Like I said, this will be the end of the year, but next week we're having a little celebration for them, and I want you to come and share that with them. And they're going off, and they're going to go back for another, I don't know how many years, three or four, whatever. It'll be quite a while. And it'll pass just quickly. And I got to thinking about that. I enjoy doing things with both my sons, and I really enjoy hunting, and Zach enjoys hunting. So we've hunted ourselves out this year, and it's been good. But he goes back, and I thank God that God has called him to that kind of work, to the ministry. But you know, he's called all of us to that kind of ministry. He's called you and I. About years ago, we know about a whole lot about people, as we learned a lot about in Desert Storm Saddam Hussein. He was a very unpopular fellow, but he was on all magazines and newspapers and on television a lot, didn't we? And he was, we found out a lot about him that more than really I wanted to know. He was a tyrant. He lived in his big bunker made, and it was a multi-million dollar home underground, and he enjoyed all the luxuries of living lavishly while his people were being punished and severely treated. And every now and then, somebody like him comes along, and they emerge from their bunkers, and they say things about the people, and, you know, then they, like he was, I thought, you know, I hate to get too much, but I thought he was a coward myself. He would go back into his bunker and hide and let his people suffer all the bombings and things like that. He always got back to his safety. He never really got into the battle, did he? And I thought that was a coward's way out. He never endured the dangers and the conflicts and the sacrifices that were poured out upon his people because of his doing. And then I got to thinking that about that. That's the way we are many times. In our churches, we're a lot like him. We live in our world during the week, and on Sunday we come out in our Sunday best and we speak our God language. You see, we talk about God and we pray with each other and pat each other on the back, and then on the week we go back into our spiritual safety of our own little hiding place, our spiritual cocoon, so to speak, and we never really get into the battle for the Lord. I thank God for, I heard this morning the women about to start over. Back when David Hill was here, we knocked on every door on the east side of the lake, back this way, and made all those contacts. Man, the years are gone. David's been gone since, I think, 2002. And, man, the time flies. It just seems like I still see him a lot of times at the convention. He's still the same old David. We love to jaw, and he does most of the jawing. He does most of the talking. But, you know, I thought about that. We just retreat back, and we never get into the battle of knocking on the doors or praying and doing battle, spiritual battle. And we've not been chosen to sit back in our little places in the church. We're called to get out on the street. We're called to knock on doors. We've been chosen to get into the thick of things. And when I read this scripture over and over, Paul says, I'm a debtor. I owe God something. And I think his life, and I talked about his call this morning. We have to get into the thick of things. Now, 2013 is past. This will be the last Sunday of 2013. But we'll spend our lives next year dealing with the hurting of our community. You can't believe how many people come by here in an average week that are really hurting. Some are just working the system, so to speak, but so many lives are really hurting. And even if they're working the system, I call it, where they're going from church to church, they're lost. And I've often thought, how would God deal with someone like that as they try to they think they would try to con you out of $20 or a tank of gas or whatever. But, you know, I think, well, I'm going to go ahead and help them out. I know they're trying to work the system or work me, whatever. I said, but, you know, God, I think you would just go ahead and help them, and you'll deal with that later. And I don't have to worry about whether he deals with it, if I do it for the right reason in my heart. Really wanting to help someone out. And, you know, we need to help the bruised and the bleeding of this world. We need to help them as they grapple for the real problems in the real problems of life. Some got real problems out there. And I wondered why many times years ago God has called me to the ministry here or chosen me to be here in the ministry and leave me here for 28 years, that's a long time, in this kind of ministry on the lake. And, you know, in God's first sermon at the synagogue at Nazareth, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I said, the Lord come for consolation, illumination, liberation, set them free, and for salvation. And as I think about the ministry, isn't that what God has called us for? To preach to the bruised and the brokenhearted, and to give them the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's our ministry that we have, that God has given us, and we need not be behind a pulpit for this ministry to go forth, or we need not speak to hundreds of people at one time. I hear guys all the time say, man, if I had a big church where I could preach to all the people at once. Well, the best way I've figured is to preach on a one-to-one basis. I have friends that have been in the ministry a lot longer than I have, and they're preaching at churches where 10, 25 people go every Sunday. and they've have many of them have a higher degrees than I have, and yet God has chosen them to preach to 30 and 35 and their ministry, and God has chosen me to preach here. And I thank God that you don't have to preach to hundreds and thousands in a week. You just be faithful to do what God has called you to do and minister to the ones that he sent beside you or sent along your way. And there's all kinds of different ministries that we have. In Matthew 12, 18 through 21, listen. It tells us how Jesus ministered to us. In verse, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sent forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Well, God says here, we have three different kinds of things that we're to do in the ministry. And I thought about Zach. I've been around this young guy a long time. I've seen him grow up. We came here and he was in a starting kindergarten. I saw him all those years as he grew up here in our church and our youth group. He was right over here when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and walked down this aisle. And we watched, his mother and I watched him as he went off to college and he started working with international missions and the international students and befriending them and talking to them. I believe God was there in his life then, showing him how to minister to people. And I've got to watch him over the years, and it's been a blessing. And then as he went overseas, you know, he comes in and says, "Mom, Dad, I'm going overseas. God's called me there." He didn't ask us if we wanted him to. He just told us. It really didn't matter what we said, did it? He was going. And I believe if God calls you someplace, that's where you want to be. But in this passage of Scripture, we are to be like our Lord in the ministry. And listen to what he says. We are to labor in quietness and serenity. And that word, cry aloud, is a word that's used for a barking dog or a brawling drunkard or someone that's loud like that. And Jesus was not a man that was loud. He was not a man who was a brawler. Instead, the Bible tells us, here's how Jesus dealt with people. He dealt with them in love, and he dealt with them in tenderness. And as we minister even here, we have to learn to deal with people in love and tenderness. Now, I've grown up in the denomination where the climate was one of quarreling, I hate to say. We all Baptists know about quarreling. Baptists are known for their business meeting fights. That's sad, isn't it? But it's known for that, and we know a good deal about that, and that is not the way Jesus Christ wants us to minister to people. He wants us to deal with people in a love and compassionate way. And I believe as a church, we have to learn that if we're ever going to win the world for Christ, we've got to live what we preach. And we've got to know what we teach. And we've got to minister people like Jesus would minister people. And you don't do it by hard language and hurting them. You do it with a tenderness and a love that actually they know that we love them by the way that we treat them. And I've got to watch this young man deal with the people like that. Not only that, we are to work in tenderness. He says, a bruised reed. And he mentions a bruised reed. Now, I grew up in the country, and you grew up on the lake. I know you didn't grow up on the lake, but you moved down here to the lake probably. And you know what cattails are. cattails are those long things that stick up in the edge of the water that have that ugly old brown fuzz on the top of them when they see they spread everywhere over the lake. But you know what? Those are easily broken down. You can walk through them, walk, make a trail through them, and if you're not careful, you'll break that cattail over that grows along that riverbank, and it'll never straighten back up. Well, Jesus says, a bruised reed. And he mentions probably that because it's probably a cattail along the riverbank. And as that person made its way to the along the riverbank through that hill, he did not bend that reed or bruise that reed in any way that it would stand tall, that it wouldn't be able to stand by itself. And I think of our lives. I think of people that God has put in the ministry here in this church. Our scripture says, a bruised reed he shall not break. And so many times, we discard people and do away with them. And that's not the way Jesus would do it. He would deal with people in tenderness. He dealt with many a person that needed help, many a person that was sick, to restore them. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad I turned mine off tonight. Was that you? Wasn't you? All right. I started to say, Bill, if that was you, brother, you looked awful guilty. I started to say, Bill, if that was you, on Sunday morning, we ought to all have ours on by the time he gets up here, makes his announcement, and let him go off. But, you know, God came to restore people. He came to help people. He came to heal that broken-hearted, that they wouldn't fall, but they would stand tall. And, man, we've got a lot of young people here in this church. We've got a lot of children in this church. Over this next year, I pray that we'll minister to them in a way that they'll know that we really love them and they want to stand up for Christ, you see. Our ministry is not just to heal the brokenhearted and preach the gospel there. Our ministry is to ignite the flames of hope and joy in some person's life. And we have a lot of people that are would be right on the verge of just dropping out of church. You know them. You have a lot of people that they've come a long way and they've been hurt by so many people in church over the years that they just about ready to drop out. Our ministry, I believe, as a church, is to pull them back in. I couldn't tell you how many people that have dropped out of other churches and are out there floundering right now. Some of them are looking for a church home. Some of them say, hey, I don't want to get back in the kind of mess I just come out of. Man, I thought, man, what are we here for? And we ought to be a church that says, okay, we're not going to be that yet. We're going to love you and we're not going to talk about you. We're going to help you get back on your feet and grow in your Christianity. The scripture says a smoking or smoldering flax or wick shall not be quenched. Now, I grew up with old oil lamps. You did too. You have them old oil lamps burning, and you know that sometimes when it burns real low, what happens? It gets a lot of smoke, doesn't it? Puts off a lot more smoke than light. And when a lamp gets that low, a lot of you didn't have kerosene lamps, did you? When a light gets that low, two things. You either snuff it out or you trim it off. It's got to be trimmed. That's the reason they say keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Think about them songs that we sing. Or you can snuff it out and throw it away. Well, Jesus says, you don't do that. I did not come, he says, to quench or extinguish the flames of a life. He said, I came to fan the flames of a life. I came to bring hope to the lost. I came to bring joy to the lost. I came to love the lost. You know, he was criticized for eating with sinners or talking with sinners. And he said, that was the ministry. I came to lift them up and to tell them that there is hope. Not that there's no hope. And that's what we need. Fill our church with people that are hopeless. that need the joy in their life once again. And we can't do that if we're going to be critical of them. I thought about what kind of people would come to our church today. What kind of people? Somebody said, well, they're not our kind of people, but what kind of people are they if they're not our kind of people? You see, it's only by grace of God that we are what we are today and where we are today. And if we follow the steps of our Lord, we need to follow His ministry. You see, imitate the work of God. And that is to restore people, to ignite the flames of under them. Now, Zach is going over to China. Praise God. He's going to go over there. Like he said this morning, a lot of them never heard Jesus Christ. And he's going to try to start churches over there, get groups of people, groups to start praying and reading the Word of God and for salvation and things like that. And, you know, that's great. That's great. Some of you have asked, can we go over there on a mission trip? And I've told him, and I said, well, maybe we can come in a year or so. We can come over there and do some kind of ministry. We've got to look into that. But, you know, before we go over there, I think we need to be involved in the ministry here, you see. If we're not involved in the ministry of reconciliation, we're not involved in the ministry of bringing hope to the people here in our own town, how can we go over there? You see, God wants for us to bloom where we are and work where we are and build up the hopes of people right here. And folks, it's sad. We hadn't seen as many salvations this year as we have in the years past. And I don't know why that is, but we need to get back to doing that. Get back to doing the things we know that works and have a ministry to ignite the flames, a ministry of reconciliation, and do it in a tenderness of love. Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, or the learned and the unlearned. And folks, that's everybody. That's everybody in our town. That's everybody. Now, I think we've got one of the greatest churches this side of heaven. I love our people. I love our church. Man, it's good to be here for 28 years. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm here for another long time. I might not be. Praise the Lord. This church can go on and work and move forward because it's made up of people who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, I hope that encourages you. I hope you'll be encouraged to do what Paul says. Get out there. Don't sit back and do nothing all week and come in here and play like you're Mr. Holier than thou. You get into the battle. You get out there with the whole armor of God. You know, I sat there today, and I was sitting there today, and I thought, man, what should I say this? Should I preach this? You know, getting into the battle. We know how to fight a battle, don't we? Man, we got all kinds of programs. But we're weak. We're weak. We know how to fight the battle, but we're not using the weapons that God wants us to use. The weapons we're using is programs. Programs. A lot of churches are doing that today. Man, they got the best gimmicks in town to get people to church. But they're spiritually weak. They're not filled with the power of God. And we need to be filled with the power of God and the power of His might if we're going to see souls won. Oh, I'm not here to see a bunch of people walk down the aisle. You can get people to walk down the aisle just about any day of the week if you want to. But to have them stay, have them know what they're doing, have them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have them bloom and go forth out there to win someone else. That's what we want. We want people that God really saves and goes out there and wins somebody else to Christ. Now, I thank you. I praise God for you. And if you're here tonight and you need to make a decision for Christ, then I want you to come. And I want you to make that decision. But I want you to make a decision that I will do all I can for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this next year. Would you do that? Teddy, we're going to sing a verse of Scripture. If there's anyone